I'd like to thank those who download these talks podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by emailing us at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I would like to thank those who have taken the membership class, become members. Couldn't do what we do without your help, support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Our topic today is a small price to pay. Before that, we start with a humorous story. A man was sitting next to an attractive lady on the airplane. They got to talking, and after some time, he said, kind of, men do you like? She says, well, I like Jewish men with their dazzling intellects, and I also like American Indians with their high cheekbones and tawny skin. And I also like good old boys from the South. And she said, what's your name, by the way? He said, my name is Geronimo Bernstein, but you can call me Bubba. Today, I want you to, having come here for a reason, think about anything that's keeping you from being your best. Maybe an addiction, maybe a hot temper, maybe a critical spirit, a tendency to gossip. The good news is that Krishna, or God, is always working with us in those areas so we can come higher to a newer level. Here in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 5th chapter, 24th verse, it says, without being self-controlled, without being disciplined, and without being fully obedient to spiritual authorities, no one can become successful in going back home, back to Godhead. Anytime we go higher, flesh is going to go lower. So the Bhagavad Gita enjoins us, conquer the lower self with the higher self. This is called tapasya, means voluntary suffering. Get up early in the morning, take a shower, appear before the deities, give up certain bad habits like intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, meat eating. This is a kind of suffering that's when you're sick and you want to get well again, you have to refrain from certain types of food that contribute to your illness, and you also have to take the medicine. So similarly, for us to get into a spiritually healthy, wholesome, vibrant state, we need to give up four things that contribute to our material entanglement, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, meat eating. And then the positive, the medicine, is described, Anechu Shodhi Maya, chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This will clean the dirty things from the heart. This isn't a suffering of the type you see some people going around poor, defeated, broke, feeling helpless. I'm suffering for the Lord. We're not talking about that kind of artificial humility, artificial suffering, but it is a putting aside of our wrong desires. The suffering that we're talking about is a suffering that comes about when we control our senses that have previously been accustomed to having their way. Capricious, willful. Our senses don't like restraints. When you resist temptation, when you bite your tongue, swallow your pride, when you forgive somebody who hurt you, your senses are going to throw a fit. This isn't right. It's not fair. I can't take it. Let me tell them off. Many times it's uncomfortable to make the right decision. We have to suffer through that initial period of not getting our way. When Krishna asks us to do something hard, like walk away from a friend who's polluting us, or be more disciplined in what we watch on the TV, he's never trying to just take something away from us. He's trying to get something better to us. Whenever he's moving you away from one thing, he's always moving you towards something much better. He's our Heavenly Father. Like any father, they have their best interests of their children at heart. The kind of suffering that we're talking about today, called tapasya or austerity in Sanskrit, is that which develops character. As we grow and mature, Krishna's or God's blessings will be released in our direction. Here in the Bhagavad Gita, a person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-controlled and not attached to the results of his work, is already situated in transcendence. Every time that you control your senses, say no to the flesh, bite your tongue, resist temptation, the next time it's going to be easier to do it. The next time it'll be a little less painful. Whatever you feed, that will grow. You feed the hot temper, if you feed jealousy, if you just cave in when your urgings are strong, then the next time, having fed those wrongful desires, they'll come back twice as strong. Ask yourself, why are some people so good at getting mad? So good at having the last say? So good at criticizing? Practice. Practice makes perfect. If we want to change the outcome, if we want to change the direction of our lives, then we have to change what we're feeding. Stop feeding the wrong things and start feeding the right things. Next time we're tempted, step back, take a deep breath. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then walk away. What happened there? You starved the bad and you fed the good. Now, a lot of people choose what's comfortable now and they don't think about the inevitable later. When later comes, they reap the seeds of those wrong choices earlier on. They wonder why it didn't turn out favorably, why I didn't get my victory. If you're familiar with the epic Ramayana, Ravana kidnapped another man's wife who happened to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ram. Ravana had chance after chance after chance after chance to give Sita back. Ram was giving him opportunity after opportunity to make things right, to call bygones bygones. Ravana missed them repeatedly. He kept failing the test. Even the day before he was killed, at which time he'd been holding Ram's wife Sita captive for 1 year. Ram arrived with an army. Ram's army defeated Ravana's army. Ram had the upper hand. He'd captured the city. Only Ravana was left. And even then, Ram offered the olive branch to Ravana. He offered to forgive him, even when Ram had every advantage. And I'm sure that Ravana must have thought about it. His city was burned, his generals were killed, his sons lay on the ground. Literally, he was the type of person who would rather die than not have his way. And so he got his wish. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, says, consultation with the super soul seated within everyone's heart is possible only when one is completely free from the distractions of material attachment. We always feel this conviction inside, the small, still voice that says, you need to get help for that habit. You need to treat that person better. You need to get to work on time. Leave 5 minutes earlier. Our encouragement is, don't ignore that voice. That's God speaking to you from within the heart. Don't sweep it under the rug. It may be difficult, but it's better to make right choices and be uncomfortable for a little while than to make wrong choices and miss your destiny. Pain of discipline is temporary. Pain of compromise and regret is permanent. Ask the Lord to reveal areas in your heart which are dark, and then ask His help to go to work on them. He promises in the Bhagavad Gita, Tesham evanukampartam ahomagyamdam tamasha nisyamyam nabhavishto. I am within the heart of every living being. If I am invoked, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. From within the heart, I destroy the darkness born of ignorance with the flaming torchlight of knowledge. He's not asking that we be perfect. He's just asking that we keep trying, keep taking steps to improve, treat people better this year than we did 5 years ago. This year have less bad habits than we did last year. This year have a better attitude than we did in 2016. If we get stuck, we need to ask, show me, Krishna, what I need to do to improve. And then be receptive to the answer. Listen to what he's saying from deep down with inside. Sometimes we've ignored him for so long that we become numb to his transmissions. First, way back when, it was an alarm. It bothered us. We felt guilty. We didn't feel good, but we pushed it down and we pushed it down again and again and again and again. In the Middle Ages, butchers could not sit in on murder trials. They were automatically disqualified. Why is that? Well, maybe the first time they killed an animal, they didn't feel so good about it. But the second time, it was easier. The third time was easier. And after taking up the profession of killing, for them, murder is nothing. So they're sitting in the members of the jury thinking, what's the big deal? Having sympathy with the murderer, so that way they were banned from sitting on jury trials in the Middle Ages, and there's a certain reason to that. Duryodhana, in our other great epics of Mahabharata, he is described as having had a steel-framed heart. He had no compassion. He had no sensitivity. He had no respect for others. It was all about him. He was the last person in the world that could take the advice that we're dispensing tonight. That when we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we're basically saying, Lord, let me be more sensitive and not let me be less sensitive to your voice. Let me respond to your conviction. Let me not go against that whisper, which is in my best interest. If you'll stay open, pay attention, Krishna will keep you from making major mistakes. He'll guide you to make quality decisions. You and your loved ones can have the best life that you possibly could. It's described in the Svetashvatara Upanishad that God and the living entity are seated as on a tree within this body. There's the individual soul called the Atma, whose consciousness is limited to this particular body, the pains and pleasures of this body. But accompanying, under all circumstances, is the super soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is not only within this body, but he's also expanding himself to be in the bodies of each and every living being. Just like the sun is one in the sky, but on a summer day, you'll see that same sun reflected in 10,000 pots of water. So similarly, God is one, but he's also within the heart of every living being. He sits there, accompanying the individual soul, lifetime after lifetime after life. Who does that? Who is such a good friend and such a good well-wisher that even in a lifetime as a worm in stool, as a pig in the barnyard, who knows what situations we've been in the past due to our bad choices. God never cut us off. He never abandoned us. He never got disgusted with us. But as our best friend, he's always been accompanying us. We, on the other hand, turn our backs on him, but he's still there as the overseer, the proprietor, the permitter. And at such time as we start to invoke him, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, then he gives advice to that enjoying bird how to make better decisions. He gives advice from within, and he also gives advice from without in terms of spiritually advanced personalities. We call that Guru. Ekono Bhagavana Jiva Guru Krishna Prashade Pai Bhakti Ladabhis. After wandering, incarnating throughout thousands and thousands of species of life, sometimes higher, sometimes lower, sometimes superhuman, sometimes subhuman, after many, many revolutions on the cycle of birth and death from the higher planets within the solar system to the lower planets, finally, when one becomes serious about asking the question, how did I get here? Why am I suffering? How do I solve the problems of birth, death, disease, and old age? When one seeks God in that way, God sends a guru, a pure devotee of the Lord. So he guides you from within, and then he presents himself in the form of the guru from without. And the guru will give instructions about how to pay a small price in order to get a big reward. And that may be painful at first, when we're used to being uncontrolled, capricious, and whimsical. To exercise a little bit of discipline, it may taste like poison in the beginning, but in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna assures us that later on, it'll be like nectar. It may be mechanical, formal, artificial to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, but you do become addicted. Trust me. Becoming addicted to the nectar of the holy name, you give up all kinds of other things that are holding you back from pursuing your destiny. It is said in India that one of the symptoms of getting jaundice is that sugar tastes bitter like poison. Can you imagine a jaundiced person when they taste sugar like a gulab jamun or sandesh or burfi? It tastes bitter and poison. Interestingly enough, pure sugar, cane sugar, is the cure. So some or other, to restore them to health, the sugar has to be administered, and it often takes four strong men to hold that person down in order to force them to ingest the cane sugar. But as the sugar is ingested and their body begins to restore itself back to normal health, they taste the sugar for what it is. It's very, very sweet. So in the beginning, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, eating vegetarian food only that's offered to the Lord rising in the morning may be a little difficult. But after some time, you can't imagine staying up late, partying, taking intoxicants. You realize that the early morning hours are the most sweet and nectaring hours, and you would no longer miss those. In areas that we all struggle, and we do have them without any exception, our encouragement is don't ignore them, confront them. It says, what you don't confront, you can't conquer. Unhealthy cancers grow only in the dark. It's better to be open and honest than to go around pretending that you're perfect. Better not to push things down, hoping that they'll just go away on their own accord. We need to get help. Help from the super soul from within. Help from the guru. Help wherever it's available. We're not meant to deal with things on our own. We're not meant to do life solo. I've learned that when you're too proud to get help, you don't move forward. You get stuck. When you're too proud to get help, you're prevented from reaching your full potential. Karna is a great warrior. In fact, he was born of the sun god. His mother had a mantra whereby she could invoke any of the demigods, and being a simple girl, unmarried, she would just wanted, out of curiosity, to test the mantra in a remote wing of the palace. She looked up at the sun and thought of the sun god, uttered the mantra, and lo and behold, the sun god appeared before her. She said, well, thanks for coming. Now you can go. And he said, no, having summoned me, you have to have a child by me. She says, no, I'm not even married. I'm a virgin. That's not possible. And he says, I can't come and not go without this being the result. However, I will tell you that you'll remain virginal. Your son will be glorious. He'll possess all of my power, all of my ability. She had the child, was embarrassed, put him on the Ganges River in a little boat. Carpenter and his wife found him and brought him up. So she had essentially abandoned her first son. Then she married Pandu and had the five Pandava brothers, Yudhishthira, Arjuna, Bhima, and Nakula, and Sahadeva. And it was the Pandava brothers that Duryodhana tried to divest of their kingdom by cheating and killing and kidnapping and burning them. And eventually it all came to a head with the two armies, the Pandavas and the Kauravas, facing each other across the battlefield. Duryodhana, knowing that he would need someone of Karna's stature in order to defeat the Pandavas, had awarded Karna a kingdom. He made him the king of Anga. Karna allowed himself to be preempted by this gift of Duryodhana. Later on the eve of the battle, both Krishna and Kunti took Karna aside and revealed the secret of his birth. That Kunti is your mother and these five Pandavas are your brother. And you're the oldest son. You don't have to fight them. All you have to do is declare that you are the first son of Kunti, and the Pandavas will spontaneously worship you. They'll put you on the throne. There will no longer be any need for a battle to see who sits on the throne. Everybody will accept you. But Karna was too proud to walk away from Duryodhana. He was too proud to confront the fact that his friendship with Duryodhana was a weight around his neck and pulling him to the bottom of the ocean of complications. Too proud to deal with it, too proud to rectify, too proud to admit that he'd made a mistake, too attached to the kingdom that he'd been bribed with in order to step up, swallow his pride, and accept the kingdom that was his. Again, Krishna is not looking for perfect people, but he is looking for people who can swallow their pride. He's looking for people who can depend upon him, who can trust in him during difficult circumstances, trust in his mercy, trust in his strength. And here's the good news. Krishna or God will never ask you to do something and then not give you the power to do it. However difficult it may be, he will equip you, he will empower you. The unlimited Lord is breathing in the direction of those who want to fulfill their destiny. That means that if you do what you can, then Krishna will do what you can't. But here's the key. Krishna is not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. You got to dig your heels in and be disciplined. Stay away from the places and the people who are going to bring you down. Here it is said by Vijay, even if you're surrounded by evil, choose to be a Vibhishan and not a Karna. Who is Vibhishan? Vibhishan was the brother of Ravana. Vibhishan grew up in a race of demons and Rakshasas. with his brother as the king. But when he had to make a choice between Ram and Ravana, he broke off his association with unwanted kinsmen and he affiliated himself with Ram. Exactly what Karna was unable to do, and exactly why Karna was brought down in the dust of the battlefield, food for jackals. It may be difficult, but your destiny is worth fighting for. Push through anything that's holding you back. Get ready to step into a new season of Krishna's favor. Here's what I've learned. There's a blessing tied to every act of obedience. Even a little advancement on the path can save one from the greatest danger. Krishna, being the high-minded person that he is, does not take our obedience for granted. If you suffer something for his sake, he notes that in due course of time, when you pass the tests, he's not only going to make it up to you, but he's going to restore you double what it was that you gave up. If he asks you to make a major sacrifice, like walking away from someone who is polluting you, you can be sure that a major blessing will follow on the heels of that sacrifice. There'll be a major shift in your life for the better. When you make extreme sacrifices, Krishna sends extreme favor. For what Vibhishan did when Ravana was pulled down, Ram handed the throne of the golden city of Sri Lanka to Vibhishan. It was hard for him to turn his back on his brothers, his relatives, his inheritance, but in the end, it was Vibhishan who ascended the throne that had been vacated by Ravana. Other stories didn't turn out so well. Karna had a supernatural beginning. He was no less than the son of the sun god, but he wasn't disciplined in who he took in for a friend. Again, you'll never make a mistake without plenty of warnings going off. Krishna came and talked to Karna. His own mother came and talked to him, but he refused again and again and again and again. They said, let it go. Be happy. Make peace with your brothers. He didn't listen. He hung on to his resentment. He never realized that those inconveniences of confronting his issues are a small price to pay for future glory. Couldn't let go of the chains of bitterness, resentment, jealousy. He had to have the last word. He wouldn't give up his small coins in order to get $1,000 bills. It is said, little foxes spoil the vine. It wouldn't have been the end of the world for Karna to abandon Duryodhana and make peace with his brothers. And similarly for us, if we have the heart to confront and to improve, Krishna will give us another chance again and again and again and again. The real question is, how bad do we want our victory? What are we willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to rise early, to follow the four regular principles that I mentioned before, to chant the names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare? In other words, are you willing to do what others aren't willing to do? Do you want it bad enough to be a little uncomfortable at first? Do you want it bad enough to humble yourself, bow down on the floor and say, yes, Lord, I cannot do this on my own strength? If you'll be willing to do what others will not, Krishna will show up and help you conquer in every single area of your life. Trade in these four things. Trade in lust, trade in anger, trade in greed, trade in madness, for the four principles of devotional service. One, Krishna says, always think of me. Two, become my devotee. Three, worship me. And four, offer your obeisances to me. These four principles are the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness, the summum bonum of life. Friends, there'll always be something that stands between us and our destiny. Pride, envy, a bad habit, an anger issue. Enemy, Maya, whose job it is to keep us revolving birth after birth, death after death in this material world, she'll give you the low ground. She'll give you being average. She'll give you being mediocre. She'll give you not making a difference. Maya doesn't have a problem with you getting settled and stuck where you are. But when you have a big dream, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, a God-centered dream, that's when Maya gets worried. When you say, I'm not going to go through life with things holding me back, anger, low self-esteem, addiction. I'm going to face what Krishna brings up. I'm going to become all that He's created me to be. When you refuse to settle for the low ground, when you reach for the high ground, you're going to defeat every enemy and see Krishna's favor in amazing ways. You're going to see your promotion, see your healing, see your breakthroughs. Now just keep doing the right thing. Keep letting Krishna make you and mold you. Keep dealing and confronting with what He brings to light. Because of your extreme obedience, I believe you're going to see extreme favor, extreme joy, extreme peace, extreme wisdom, and extreme victory over anything that tries to hold you from the great destiny that He has in store for you in this life and in the next life. I predict that you're going to go back home, back to God.